Welcome into the Yards After College podcast, powered by KSLSports.com and the newly updated KSL Sports app, which you can find on the iOS App Store and the Google Play Store. Good stuff there. And on that application and on the website, you can hear the sultry tones of the one and only Sam Farnsworth as he is on KSL Sports Live, in addition to this podcast. But I'm your co-host, Kyle Ireland. Sam, how's it going today? How's life over in the Triad Center over at the building in downtown Salt Lake? I haven't seen you in a couple of weeks, but you know, a couple weeks ago it was super busy. We had the Super Bowl, and then right after that we were covering the NBA All-Star Weekend. So it's kind of slowed down a little bit for us, but at the same time, like, we're picking up into the NFL offseason. So kind of ramping back up as well.
They call it the off season, right? But the NFL is a year-round season. Let's just be honest, right? There's games and then there's not games. The NFL never sleeps, it never stops, and I absolutely love that about the NFL. After working in an NFL market for as long as I did, you just came to really love that there was always something new to look forward to. So yeah, you talk about it, you know, the Super Bowl came to an end, you catch your breath for about a week, but really there's a lot going on behind the scenes and getting prepared for the draft. There's players contemplating retirement. There's players contemplating new contracts. There's teams thinking about if they're going to extend someone before the new league year begins, or if they're going to let someone, franchise tags and all those. It just doesn't stop. And here we are now where you're getting ready for the NFL draft. Now you're looking at the new up and coming talent, seeing where that stands, because the draft, it feels like it's probably still like 7 or 8 weeks away. Which seems like forever, but it's going to be here so quick. And there's going to be a lot happening between now and then.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's crazy. The Super Bowl was 18 days ago. And I think that's right. It was 18 days ago. And we're already into the combine, and we're just full swing into, you know, the draft season. Mock drafts are flying around the internet right now, which I quite enjoy. And then you've also got the free agency stuff right on the horizon. Franchise tag deadlines, I believe, are on Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. We're recording this on Thursday, March 2nd. So everything's just, like you said, happening super fast, and we wanted to talk about it. Kind of recap the Super Bowl real quick. Obviously, the Chiefs won, but some falling out from that. You had Brian Johnson this last week, who was with the Eagles, obviously, who lost the Super Bowl to the Chiefs. But Brian Johnson, former Utah quarterback, he was promoted from the Eagles quarterback coach to now he's their offensive coordinator, because Shane Steichen became the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. So congrats to him. That's a pretty cool move. It seems like the coaching roles, as far as the locals, have, you know, you've had Andy Reid, but like, you've got some more prominent names now that are kind of coming into the local sphere for us, which is pretty neat. And then you also had a couple of other coaching moves. You had Utah State's defensive coordinator, Ephraim Bonda. He ended up joining the Cleveland Browns staff as their safeties coach. And then there were a couple players that moved around right after the Super Bowl. Zane Anderson, who was on the Chiefs practice squad, he ended up signing a 2-year deal with the Buffalo Bills. And then Kyrus Tonga, another former BYU player, he's with the Minnesota Vikings. He ended up, he was one of those kind of like Tyler Huntley was last year, where heading into free agency, he had that exclusive free agent tag on him. So Minnesota like controlled his contract situation, and they decided to re-sign Tonga. So nice to see him get another deal. It was kind of weird there. Like, he got waived by the Bears last year, and then just was a stud for the Vikings this last season. And they loved him.
In a lot of situations, it's all about the right fit, right? And that goes for not just players, but coaches. You talk about the situation that Brian Johnson is in right now. And that's just, you know, the marriage of quarterback coach and quarterback in the NFL is a critical one. I would say that may be even a more important relationship than quarterback and offensive coordinator, which is also a very important relationship in the NFL, but the relationship that Brian Johnson has developed with Jalen Hurts, and then seeing the progress that Hurts made from last season to this season, and obviously getting to the Super Bowl and being an MVP contender, it totally reflects the work that Brian Johnson is doing with him. And yeah, he rose quickly, and he has been rising quickly, but rose quickly this year in the coaching ranks of, future star coaches in the NFL. That's Brian Johnson's going to be around for a long time. He's going to make a lot of noise as a coach in the NFL. And it's awesome that he gets that opportunity to finally be the guy calling the shots as an offensive coordinator, to see what the Eagles are able to do with him, on the headset or up in the booth, I guess is probably where he'll be spending a lot of his time now, calling plays. But, and then you talk about the players with the right fits, right? Zane Anderson found a good fit for him, and now he's got a 2-year deal. Kyrus Tonga found a good fit for him. We're obviously with the Bears, you thought that would work out, and it just didn't. But he was a stud, gap stop guy for the Minnesota Vikings this year, and they loved it. And so he's getting those opportunities. So it's always about the right opportunity, and proving that, taking advantage of those opportunities in the NFL. And that's what we're seeing with a lot of these locals in this offseason so far.
Speaking of bad fits, and probably just a bad circumstance overall, because, coming off of last year's Super Bowl, you thought, hey, the Rams, they're reloading. They're like ready to run this thing back. And Bobby Wagner obviously moves on from the Seahawks and decides to, come back home to California, where he's from, go signs with the Rams. And the Rams were bad last year. And obviously, a lot of that had to do with injury, right?
Bobby wasn't bad, though.
Bobby wasn't bad at all. He was a great player. No. Just a beast again. I mean, when you continue to make all pro teams, like, you're pretty good. So Bobby had a great season, but
statistically, it was right up there with some of the best seasons of his career too. Sure. Right. And so, and the fact that he's still an all pro, the guy is unquestionably going to be in the Hall of Fame someday, but the fact that he had the season that he had last year, the Rams letting him go is clearly a money-saving decision for the franchise. That they're looking at their roster now as like, okay, we've got to find ways to get competitive again. We were just in the Super Bowl a couple seasons ago. What do we need to do to kind of right the ship and get back into that situation again? Well, they're going to have to revamp certain things, and that takes money to do. And so where can we save money quick? Bobby Wagner is one of those situations. He had a big contract, and I guess they feel like they can replace him easier than maybe some of the other guys on the team. So here's the thing. He's free now, but he won't be for long, right? Bobby Wagner is going to be highly sought after because he can still bring it. He's a great on-field leader. Talk to every coach that's ever been around Bobby Wagner, every teammate that's ever been around him will tell you that, how great of an on-field leader he is. And that's invaluable, to have a coach on the field that can make sure guys are in the right positions, that can keep morale up and things like that. That's Bobby Wagner. And so, I don't know what the list of teams out there that are looking for a defensive leader in the middle of the field are, but they're all going to be calling his agent's phones, if they haven't already been, pretty soon.
I'm interested to see if he ends up kind of doing the Von Miller thing, where I kind of expected Von Miller to, take like shorter deals. I mean, I guess his deal kind of has some like weird caveats to it, but like, the fact that like Buffalo went out and paid like a buttload of money for him, and he also got the years with it, right? Like, I mean, I'm interested to see if like Bobby's going to start doing, because he is, in his early 30s, he's kind of going to come down towards where he's slowing down in his career. Is it going to be where he's going to just try and chase rings now, or is he looking to get one last payday? I'm interested to see, because like, he's probably the premier free agent for the local guys. And it'll be fascinating to see, because free agency, like I said earlier, kicks off here in, a week or two. So, I've got a tracker up on the website on kslsports.com. I've put it out already, but I'll continue to, put it out on social over the next few weeks as we get moving along with these things. But there's, I want to say, like 15 guys that are free agents or free agents to be. So it's going to be quite a bit of movement as far as the guys that are currently in the NFL. But Sam, I wanted to get you on today to talk about the NFL Combine, where we're going to have an influx of guys coming in from the local colleges and high schools, or guys that were high school players in the state of Utah, that is. They're right now in Indianapolis competing or participating in drills at the NFL Combine, doing interviews with scouts, GMs, owners, you name it. And really, like, it's the who's who of, you know, BYU and Utah players that are, you know, eligible for the draft. And then also we've got a couple of guys that didn't play college ball here in Utah, but Siaki Ika went to LSU and then went to Baylor. He was from East High School and then a former Orem High standout, both on offense and defense, Noah Sewell, who is just a stud for the Oregon Ducks. He's up at the Combine as well, but wanted to get your insight on that because you've covered the NFL for a long time now. You covered the Denver Broncos and have been to many a pro day, and really it's very similar. You've just got all 32 teams in one spot, which makes it convenient there. But, you know, I mean, like Bryce Young, for instance, he's not throwing at the Combine, but he's going to throw at Alabama's pro day. So, like, you know, I think there's a lot of people who would rather just have like the Combine and get rid of pro days, or maybe get rid of the Combine and then just have pro days. Right. You probably save on travel quite a bit by not having all these pro days and having your scouts have to go to every single one of them. But
NFL teams don't care how much money they're spending, though, right? Let's be honest.
They earn enough.
Yeah, you know, I think I love the pro days, and because it's an opportunity for many players that don't get an invitation to the Combine to show what they can do as well, because there are NFL caliber players that don't get those invitations. You know, think of Zane Anderson. We just talked about him. There's no way he would have been at, you know, on many teams' radars, but he competed at BYU's pro day. When BYU does it right, they do a very good job. They're able to, and because they do it right and do a good job at it, and they've had some good talent over the years, they're able to get a lot of eyeballs to their pro day. You know, NFL scouts, coaches, management, they come to BYU's pro day because they know it's going to be done well. They're going to be treated right. They're going to be welcomed in, and they're going to have some quality players to keep an eye on. So, you know, and so, you know, Zane Anderson's one of those guys that I bring up, right? As a guy that was able to get some attention from the pro day at on campus. So I love the on campus pro days. The combine's great too, because it's, you know, the production that the NFL makes out of it. Plus, every team is represented by most of their front office, or at least, you know, major representatives from every team's front office is there, along with coaches and scouts. So what it all boils down to, the fact of the matter is there's a few things that you will get more attention for. I think the 40, just seeing the sheer speed of someone's, you know, their point to point speed, is something that people will never get over, that will always catch someone's attention. But if I remember right, I think that's one way Jalen Warren caught some eyeballs. I can't remember what his 40 time is, but that's about it. What you put on tape ultimately is what's gonna be the most valuable piece going into the draft, going into convincing teams to sign you as an undrafted free agent. It's all what you put on tape. Throwing, the quarterback throwing drills, sometimes, you know, I think Zach Wilson, he already had a lot of great stuff on tape, but his pro day, I think, wowed people even more with some of those throws that he made. But ultimately, it's uncontested, right? You don't have a pass rush coming at you. You don't have coverage on the receivers and whatnot. So they're a lot of fun, because you can, if you're there covering the event, you can try to pick minds of some of these scouts, get an idea of who they're really there to keep an eye on amongst the players, who you're interested in, who you're keeping your eyes on. I try to do it at the BYU pro days that I've been to. And some of the scouts will talk. They're like, oh yeah, we're here obviously looking at Zach, or we're here looking at, you know, whoever, you know, name that player.
Sure.
But anyway, ultimately it's kind of a show. They do learn things. The most let me backtrack again. I would say the other most valuable thing about these pro days and combines is the interviews. They get to meet with teams. That's really where most of the value is, because you get to learn a little more about a player. You get to know them and develop that early relationship that will become valuable when it comes to signing with a team in the long run.
Yeah, you've got, I mean, like you said, like for instance, like the quarterbacks. Like I think about that one, and you're having to rely on wide receivers that you haven't really worked with, like at the combine, for instance, right? Like your pro day, you're working with some former teammates, but you know, at the combine, it's like they probably just want to see like how you come out of your stance. You know, a lot of them are shotgun quarterbacks now from college, and there's quite a bit of shotgun in the NFL, but you know, they probably want to see how you are under center, how the ball comes out of your hand. It's more important for those types of things than, you know, whether or not the receiver at the end of it catches your throw or not. But
Like Senior Bowl practices, I think are more valuable than the combine or pro days because those are run by NFL coaches. They're put through NFL drills and you know practice situations where you're actually going one on one, where you're actually you know or 7-on-7 and whatever. Those practices are super valuable too. So all those locals that got invites to the Senior Bowl or to other type of you know. Senior type bowl games, those are valuable. And that was a great opportunity for them.
So there's nine guys in total that have combine invites that are there in Indianapolis, highlighted primarily probably from a couple of former Utes and Dalton Kincaid, Utah's tight end from last couple seasons, and then Clark Phillips on the defensive side of the ball, their cornerback. Those guys have been primarily the out of the Utah and BYU college scene, been like the headliners in like a lot of mock drafts for the last year or so. And in these recent, you know, NFL articles or, you know, interviews that I've been watching and stuff, like Dalton Kincaid has like jumped Clark. He's kind of cemented himself as a first round pick.
Crazy, huh?
I think it was that USC game alone that really did it for him. And then he had another, you know, another great showing there towards the end of the season, just battling that injury, coming back out on the field, just showing how tough he is to help them. But I think that there's a couple of things. I think it also depends on like position groups of need in each draft. And this is supposedly a pretty deep draft for cornerbacks. And so Clark's going to be up against that with, you know, other talented cornerbacks. But then you've seen how important a lot of these tight ends, like, I mean, Travis Kelce, like everybody wants Travis Kelce, or, you know, everybody wanted a Gronk, and Dalton Kincaid going out and having like 16 catches or whatever, and just mossing dudes against USC, who albeit didn't have an amazing defense, but like to put on a performance like he did, where you knew the ball was coming to him and you still couldn't stop him, like that has really helped him out, I think, in his draft stock. But Dalton's not going to be participating at the combine because he's coming off that injury that he had at the end of the season there. But could you just kind of speak, Sam, about what you think of those two guys in particular,
Yeah, for
and
sure.
maybe what you expect to see out of some of these other guys as we come, you know, through this weekend here in the 40 times and, you know, throwing drills for Jaren Hall and those things.
Yeah, like the rise that Dalton Kincaid has made from the beginning of last season to this point has just been, you know, remarkable. He deserves all the attention he's getting. So going into this last season, I kind of felt, you know, there was a lot of hype behind Brant Keithy, the other great tight end for the University of Utah. I kind of felt like Kincaid, by the end of the season before, maybe had taken a step ahead of Keithy, you know, and then clearly injuries have gotten in the way of Keithy. It's been a trouble for him, but everything that Kincaid has done, coaches are seeing the next George Kittle or the next Travis Kelce. And those players, as we've seen over the past few NFL seasons, they are very valuable in NFL offenses, especially when you're splitting out your tight end or you're putting him into the backfield to run out for a catch or, you know, they're so versatile and they're valuable in all of these offenses. Dalton Kincaid suddenly becomes a rare find in the NFL draft, and he's the best at what he does out of college going into the draft. So to see him rise into the first round, is it shocking? I'd say it's a bit of a surprise, but not shocking because that's what NFL teams want. Clark Phillips is still a first round talent, in my opinion. I was listening to a scout this last week say that really there's no such thing as 32 first round grades every year. There's less than that, he thinks. You know, So I still believe Clark Phillips is a first round type talent, but he may not be taken in the first round because of what you said. It is a deeper draft class this year for defensive backs. And also because there's fewer of these other great players like tight end, interior linemen, things like that, that they want to take off the board first and feel like, I think we can get that defensive back in the second round. Clark Phillips is going to go quick on day two if he doesn't get taken in the first round. It won't take long for him to get taken with his speed. The one thing against him might be his size, right? But those two guys, they're going to have no problem getting picked. Jaren Hall, I'm excited to see him throw because I think he's got great tape, but it's good for him to participate in things like the Senior Bowl and the Combine and Pro Days because he can still boost his stock a bit. I think he's probably an early day three pick at this point, but he might be able to boost his stock a bit and climb in. So the other players that are there, I think Blake Freeland and Braden Daniels have a good opportunity to show and you know, cement themselves somewhere in the middle to late rounds of the draft as well. I think they're both draftable guys for sure. A guy like Puka Nacua, though, I think the most likely scenario for him is undrafted signing at this point, you know. So a strong showing, especially with a speed from a speed standpoint at Pro Day and at the Combine could help his cause.
So you mentioned Puka, like he had a great appearance there at the Senior Bowl. And it makes me, you know, kind of think that this is like, it's not just like the one thing, right? It's not like just an impressive combine. It's like, did you interview well? Did you perform well in your drills? Did you have a good pro day? Like it's consistency, the Senior Bowl, like it's all of these things are in like a package, right? Like it's not just one thing, unless you're just the clear and obvious where, you know, Bryce Young, for instance, like Bryce Young doesn't have to do anything. His tape's awesome. And
right.
Everybody knows he's small, but other than getting measured, as long as he's healthy, like everybody's going to be like, yeah, we know that you're a great football player. You don't have to throw the football to prove that, right? Like we already know that you can throw the football. So I think it's a lot of, can you improve your stock versus hurt your stock in all of these things? And that's kind of what I'm interested to see. Today we had the linebackers and defensive linemen go. As we've been recording this, the linebackers have started their 40s. So expect Noah Sewell's stuff to come out shortly. I think he's up in up. Yeah, he's in three more guys yep. are ahead of him right now. So probably while we're still on this, he'll have run his 40 time, but Siaki Ika went earlier today. And then tomorrow you've got Clark Phillips. Saturday you've got Jaren Hall and Puka Nacua. And then on Sunday you've got Braden Daniels and Blake Freeland and Tavion Thomas. Like we said, Dalton Kincaid's not going to
right.
Yep. Not going to participate because of that injury, which is unfortunate, but I put out a roundup of mock drafts earlier this week, Sam, and in almost every single one of them, he was a first round pick. And it was cool to see that, you know, because I think that, you know, those things where they're looking at the tape, they're not looking at the combine stuff, right? Like this is a pre-combine thing. So a lot of these guys here are going to be able to either elevate or, you know, drop their stock where Dalton Kincaid's like, hey, look what I already did. Take it or leave it. I think that's kind of right. Cool. So like kind of sucks because it's fun for us to cover, but at the same time, like for him, it's kind of an easy way where he can just, you know, go into these interviews, show how intelligent he is, show what he, you know, point things out on his film, answer these questions from GMs and scouts and kind of focus on that as opposed to worrying about, you know, oh, what am I going to get on my 40 time? What am I going to do on my vert? All those other things. So kind of makes it a little easier on his trip to Indianapolis. But that's coming up this weekend, Sam. Like I said earlier, we've got free agency just around the corner. So I'm excited to talk with you
watching
about
Noah Sewell right now.
Coming weeks.
Sorry. He's Noah Sewell's going to the starting
block.
Oh, blocks.
There he is. I was like, you're a little bit ahead right of me. Now. My feet must be a little slower. He had an interesting comment yesterday where
not bad.
He went out and he was talking about the the fact that his brother obviously plays with the Detroit Lions, what that would mean to him if he was able to play with Penei. But then I was also like, it was from the Detroit Lions account that they tweeted the video.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I wonder if the Saints put anything out about Noah, and they didn't. I was like, oh, well, Penei is the one of the premier linemen in the NFL. But 4.72.
4.72.
Wish it was a little faster.
That's the
there for Noah.
Sixth fastest linebacker time so far.
It's not Will Anderson.
Just a 100th of a second behind Jack Campbell from Iowa. So 4.72, you know, I'm sure he would like to be a little faster, but
you want to be in like the 4.6s. If you're a 4.5 at linebacker, you're pretty fast.
Trenton Simpson from Clemson just ran 4.5 flat.
Yeah, that's tough.
Anyway,
yeah, this is what? Where hey, like the analytic people, they're like
Sewell's a run stopper.
Yeah, the analytic people, they're having a heyday right now. Like this is like their favorite time of the year. They're like,
sure,
just geeking out all over this. Like the coaches, they probably couldn't care less about the combine stuff. They care more about the film,
yes,
interview
100%.
Sessions, that kind of stuff. But all right, Sam, that's it for this week's edition of the podcast. You can follow Sam on Twitter at Samsworth_KSL, on Instagram at Samsworth_TV. Sam, what do you have real quick to tease for us on KSL Sports Live this weekend?
We've got a big weekend of high school basketball. That's just a part of it. Don't freak out just yet. That's just a part, but we do have state champions being crowned in three classifications here in the state, including the two largest classifications, 5A and 6A. But we are tracking this NFL combine this weekend like a hawk, and we'll be all over that. We'll be diving into it here on KSL Sports Live as well this weekend. So all of our NFL fans in the state of Utah, you want to be dialed into KSL this weekend as well.
Yeah, be sure to check out KSL Sports Live. Follow us on social media at KSL Sports. You've also got the new KSL Sports app, like I mentioned up at the top of the show. It's pretty nice. You can listen to the podcast on there, read all the stuff on our website via the app, and then you can also watch the television broadcast stuff as well. So pretty cool that we have like this this new all-in-one kind of approach. Also listen to KSL Sports Zone when Sam gives his takes on all of the shows on the radio airwaves as well. So until next week, you can follow Sam on social. Like I said, you can follow me at Kyle Ireland. We'll be back again next week to kind of recap the combine, what all these guys did, and then look ahead to free agency.